Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome, everybody, to HealthyLife.net, and it is your source of positive talk radio. I am Charisse, and you're listening to Charisse Unplugged, where I explore health, fitness, and tech, and all the things that mean everything to me in my world. And today, I am unbelievably excited, and I mean that with all my heart, to welcome my friend, my super talented friend and drummer, Mauricio Lueck. It's so fun to have you here. I can't even tell you. I was excited when I met you outside. I'm excited to meet you here. So Mauricio has, I'm going to brag about you right now. He's a drummer for Jackson Browne. What? Okay. And surprise other, Melissa Etheridge. And who else? I'm going to find out later, but you're going to tell me who else you played with, because that's just like two of the many. And I'm going to start off with this. We call you Fritz, okay? How did you get that name, the name Fritz?
That's my nickname. You know, I got it when I was a kid. I had a friend, but my sister's friends couldn't say Mauricio, and we were kind of hanging around, and I think it was about the time when Fritz the Cat was out, and he just says, you know what? I'm going to call you Fritz, and it just sort of stuck.
But wait, how old were you guys? Like, you couldn't say Mauricio.
13 or 14, you know, he just, it was a little older, and he goes, you know what? I just don't call you Fritz. And, you know, it became a nickname, and then everybody I knew and people I would meet in school, high school, you know, whatever, would call me Fritz, and it stuck, you know, and it's kind of my nickname.
It stuck forever. It is so cute. It's so cute.
It's bizarre, but it sort of never went away.
Did your mother ever call you Fritz, though? No, I didn't think so.
My mother won't, like, she never did, and my wife will call me Fritz.
You know if you're in trouble, if they do.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Do you have a middle name?
You know what? I don't have a middle name, but I have a, on my birth certificate, it said Mauricio Lueck Neto, which is a junior, because I had a grandfather who was Mauricio. So that's kind of like my, really not a middle name. It's just a junior. So it just didn't, I have a middle
Neto.
Name. Neto, which is junior in Portuguese, because I was born in Brazil.
You were?
I was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, yeah. And the way my dad and my mom, originally, my father was originally from Poland. My mother was from Israel,
uh-huh.
And they met in Israel. And when I was born in Brazil in '59, my dad decided I should be a junior because his father was a Mauricio. And so it kind of just, you know, it was on my birth certificate, but it really wasn't a middle name. It was just junior.
I like Neto. That's kind of a fun name. Sounds very, it's almost like Italian.
It's like a pasta or something.
Neto.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call you Neto, just because it's better than just saying Junior.
Junior, exactly.
That's so fun. So you were born in Brazil.
I was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, yeah.
And then, how long were you there?
Well, my father was a piano player, and that's what he did. He played jazz, classical, Brazilian music, Latin music, and he was always working and playing and gigging. And we were working in Brazil. He was working in Brazil in 59. He had a couple of opportunities to come to the U.S., and he always wanted to come to the U.S. from Israel, because that's where he met my mom. And at the time, it was like in the 50s, you know, there was opportunities everywhere for musicians because, you know, musically, internationally, he just was very well-trained, played everything. He came from a family of musicians. His father was a violin player in a Philharmonic Orchestra in Jerusalem. And so that part of the family, my dad was always involved in that. And his mother was a piano player, so when they migrated they left Israel, my dad really wanted to come to the U.S., but he had a lot of friends that were in Brazil, and he thought, well, you know what, let's go to Brazil, and just, because he loved the music, he loved the, you know, everything about Brazil. the food, the music, the upbringing, everything about the beaches, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Samba, carnival, you know, the whole thing. And so he really wanted to bring the family to Brazil for strictly just a, you know, beautiful opportunity to raise your kids. And so we did that, and then there was a bunch of musicians in the late 60s.
Yeah.
Musicians from Brazil moving to the U.S. because there was a huge popular Brazilian music scene going on in the U.S. So there was all, everyone was helping each other out, like sponsoring guys to come and play. So my dad came to the U.S. in 67. And then my mom and my sister all moved like about a year or two after.
Your mom and your sister.
Yeah. And so we kind of migrated. And my dad saw that the opportunity in the U.S. would have been better than bringing your family up in Brazil, even though he loved
the vibe.
Yeah, the vibe is completely, you know, nothing like it.
Mm.
But in America at the time, he saw that, you know what, this is the place to bring your family.
In the 50s.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's still today the same if you think about it.
Yeah.
Everybody tries to move here, but
still doing that.
Still doing that. So, excuse me. And so basically the idea was that, and this is, we were kids. I mean, I didn't, you know, it didn't come up to be like when I was probably in junior high school in the U.S.
Yeah.
Grew up because we moved to Hollywood, lived in Hollywood for a little bit, then moved to the Valley. And I went to Los Angeles Junior High School for a couple of years. And then that's kind of when I started falling in love with music. And my dad was completely against me playing music for
what?
A living because he thought,
hopefully.
Are you kidding me? Playing music, you know how hard that is?
Because he had a tough time.
But for a piano player, it's a little different because at the time, if you're a piano player, you can walk into any restaurant or any club and say to the club owner and say, hey, I play piano. Check it out. And they hear you burn, and you go, when can you start working?
Right.
And, you know, it's easier. For a drummer, not so much.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a little odd to be able to kind of come in and say, can I play?
It's hard to go into a restaurant and go, hey, you need a drummer?
It's a little weird in that respect, but so that's, and that's kind of like what happened. I, you know, I just kind of fell in love with music and started playing.
So you were born in Rio. I mean, born in Brazil,
yeah.
And then at young age, like little baby, moved to California.
I was about 11, 12 years old.
So did you learn Portuguese?
I was spoke Portuguese fluently. Came to the U.S. had no idea how to speak English and
immersed
in, you know, what happens in a lot of junior high schools, even grammar school, they put you in a room full of, you know, non-English speaking kids, and they all absorb the language. You know, you at that age, you pick it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And learn English like everyone else did.
Did you have an easy time transitioning?
As a kid, I don't think it was that hard because you're just, you know, you watch TV and you're amongst everybody speaking English and kind of. At an early age, really easy.
The kids were cool with you?
At the time, I think so, from what I remember.
If they weren't, you blocked it out.
Don't remember that part. It was a long time ago.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because I don't think anybody really knows that you were born in Brazil. You're like actually a Cali kid.
Cali kid, exactly. You know, you just grew up in West Coast, California, and went from, you kind of moved from place to place, and I graduated high school, and I was in the music department, had a great music, you know, teacher that was incredibly inspirational for everybody in the class.
Did you learn other instruments?
When I was growing up, I loved playing piano, but I didn't play enough of it, but I just was trying to master playing drums, which is, you know, it was always just kind of focused, and I loved all that. In the high school I grew up with, I graduated from North Hollywood High School, and there was a ton of musicians in that scene that became, you know, the guys from Toto went to the Valley, went to school like at Grand High and Hollywood, and, you know, guys from there was a huge musical scene when I was growing up in the Valley. It was weird. It was like a lot of great musicians came from that part of the Valley.
That's inspiring.
It's weird how that, it just was that an era, you know, of great.
Now it's all about tech.
Kind of all about tech. Exactly. Kind of changed. You know?
That's cool. That's such a like great time of music too, because that was like real music, people sitting around writing together, even at a young age.
Yeah.
Right? Different.
Yeah, it was different because it was at the beginning of, I remember like when I was in high school, and as soon as I started playing gigs, I would join like cover bands that we'd be doing 4 or 5 nights a week. And at the same time, we were doing these gigs, and all this technology started appearing, like the drum machine came out.
Right.
And the technology of like the sampling came out, and all of these musicians that I knew were going, this is ridiculous. They're going to take our gigs away because they've got all these guys learning how to program these machines. And and that became like some of the later disco era and the dance and the scene that, you know, like between the 80s and the early 90s. But that whole era was real musicians playing.
How did you transition from like that to, were you uncomfortable with it at first? Open to it?
You know what? We had to be open. I mean, to me, I mean that, you know, I was in a club band playing gigs. I bought a drum machine so we can, you know, we can sound like those songs. So you basically learn how to program that stuff. And I've always had a bit of a tech, you know, I'm always a techie. So to me, it was easy
to
jump into that without having to, you know, learn, you know, use a computer later on. You know, I mean, it's just what we are today. But now we're making records in our bedrooms. But
I feel like a lot of drummers are really good with tech as well.
It's kind of a
math tech.
It's math, and it's sort of the way it.
Well, each limb is doing a different thing.
Yeah.
So your brain is like, boo, doo, doo, ding, dong.
Exactly.
Sort of. Probably dance that way, too. I know my husband does. He dances like he drums, as he says. Each limb is doing something different.
<That's awesome. laughs>
It's really true.
That's a great drum.
Yeah, let's just not worry about the dancing. So I'm very curious, how did you get started with Jackson Brown, Melissa? Like, how did this even begin?
Well, you know, it's like anybody. You continually try to be as best as you can at something, which you never stop learning. I mean, until today, I'm still learning, but it's really kind of about knowing, kind of networking and knowing the right people at the right time and being in the same room with somebody that's looking for somebody to be in a band. And I was in a club, you know, I was playing gigs at, you know, 5 nights a week, and I had a couple of friends.
Where were you gigging? Like, was downtown L.A.?
It was basically, the club gigs were everywhere. It was from, like, Orange County all the way to Long Beach. And then I was in a couple of original bands. And the key at the time, we were playing, like, Madam Wong's and FM Station and Philip McNasty and, you know, places on, you know, like the little club gigs that were basically, we were in bands that were writing our own songs and trying to get a record deal. That was the dream.
That's the thing.
Then you would do your 5 nights a week on the other nights where you know, Tuesday or Sunday or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we would try to, I was, you know, in like any kid that playing music trying to make it in L.A. because everybody says, well, there's a million bands that come out of L.A. And so one big genre of music happens and they're all looking for the similar kind of style of music. So, and you would have to be in the place where you'd have to invite a bunch of friends, and then somehow the record company would find out you're playing, and if you're interested on something you're doing, they'd show up or not.
It'd be the day of the A&R.
The day of A&R and record companies and all that stuff. So it was challenging, and it was interesting. It was a creative time for bands, but a lot of those bands, I mean, some of them, of course, made it out of every city, really, in New York and
right.
But L.A. too, but... And then you just continue to do it, and then you do one band or the other. And I was in a band with a friend of mine, bass player friend of mine, Kevin McCormick, and he had a band called The Uninvited. And we were playing at the Lingerie, and we had a really great following, and it was kind of like a reggae-inspired band. And and we were playing, like, regularly, like once every month, and we had a great crowd, and we had a following, and we were kind of on the way of, and Jackson used to come down and see us play. And that's how I met him, and he really loved the band, and he goes, hey.
Do you remember which club this was?
It was the Club Lingerie, which I don't know if it's still there, if it still has live music, but I think I think the building's still there. It's like on, is it Hollywood or somewhere? And he came down, and we kind of became all friends, and he wanted to produce a demo that some music we were working on. And so that relationship started that way, and we just, he knew Kevin, and we just sort of became friends. And at the same time, you know, I was kind of working with different singer-songwriters, you know, doing gigs around town. And I was actually on the road with this, the way it worked with me is that, on a different story, I was working with this singer. I was in Atlantic City working with this, I mean, she became famous later on. Her name is Thelma Houston. And she had a single called Don't Leave Me This Way.
Oh,
and I was working in, I know, right?
Yeah.
I think she won a Grammy for this song. And so I was in Atlantic City doing two shows a night with her. And it was just another friend. It was one of those things. You just basically...
Atlantic City. So you had to fly.
Yeah, so we were there for like three, you know...
Fly to Jersey.
And I'm in New Jersey. Yeah, go to Jersey. And at the time, my friend Kevin, the bass player that I'm telling you that we worked with Jackson...
Yeah.
...had been working with this girl who had just made a record. Her name is Melissa Etheridge. And she was about ready to put a band together because the record she had made... A lot of the guys could really be in a band. So I'm on the road with Thelma Houston, And, and Kevin calls me and says, hey, Melissa needs a band. What are you doing? I said, oh, I'm out here in Valencia. Well, let me send you her record, and then you learn the stuff. When you get back, we're going on the road with this girl because she's going to do pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay. So I heard the record, and I thought, it was like, wow, this is really great. I thought, you know, this is pretty.
Like your songwriting.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, she had it. So I came home, and we started rehearsing, and then that became like a, I don't know, five and a half year stint of doing gigs. And then after we did the Melissa tour and did all those records and continued on, Jackson was in the middle of making a record, and Kevin and I were working with Melissa and a piano player, keyboard player that worked with Jackson named Scott Thurston, who went off to, he played with the Tom Petty and Harper.
Yeah.
Well, when called us and said, hey,
wait,
Jack,
he went to go play with who?
Scott, Tom Petty. And Scott became, he was one of the heartbreakers. But he called, we've known Scott for forever.
That's
and he called us and he said, hey, Jackson's in the studio working on this record. And there's a lot of musicians coming in and out. You guys should come down and just jam. And maybe we can find a way to make this kind of, it inspires.
Yeah.
And we knew Jackson from the club, you know, from him coming and seeing us years ago before. So we said, okay, we'll come down and check it out. And then we went down there, and then that was in 92, 93. And then we became a band, and we just kind of made a bunch, you know, a pretty long run of playing gigs, making records, and kind of.
How did you juggle?
Well, at the time, it was one of those things where, like, there was all this time that we basically worked with Melissa, and then when that kind of, it kind of ended in an interesting way because she kind of moved on band wise, and so it kind of worked out with Jackson, so it just, we were available, and that sometimes that happens, you know,
you
work with somebody, and sometimes you work with. I mean, I know musicians that go out on the road and play one tour, and then never really work with that artist again just because they want to change or they want to feel, you know, something different.
Yeah.
So
they need a new vibe or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, it's
different direction.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I got to say, for the most, I'm the luckiest person alive. I feel so blessed and, you know, very thankful that, you know, I've been working with Jackson for a long time, and there was a core of musicians that were all working, like the same musician. Now it's been like a couple of other guys.
Yeah.
You know, they've moved on. But, yeah, I've been there since like
nine. So you recorded a couple of songs with Melissa Etheridge.
We did. We did three whole records together.
What are some of the famous songs that we all know?
The I guess probably the one that everybody knows is called I'm the Only One.
And that's you drumming on that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to repeat that. That is you. I'm touching you right now. Mauricio Fritz. I actually get to know him.
Oh, you're too sweet.
He's on that record, which I love. I love that damn song, too.
Just a blues jam, you know, it's funny.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean,
just a blues jam. Except that it's iconic. Those drums are iconic on that.
Okay.
Just saying. So just that little song you're on, that. What are the other couple songs?
I don't know. I mean, from that whole record, there was a couple. That was kind of probably.
Just that record.
That record, I mean, it comes from my window. It's a great, one of the great songs. I mean, there's
sorry.
A lot of great songs.
Touching you again. Mauricio. Fritz. I get to actually. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you. That's a very kind of. And I'm just very blessed and very appreciative. That
I see. Okay. No, this
had
is.
An opportunity to,
people don't really, you know what? No, I know people realize this about you. You are probably one of the most humble and most generous musicians I have ever met. You,
thank you so much.
I mean, you seriously, you play, you sit in with us, little old us, and you kill.
Well, you guys are amazing. I mean, you're a musician. You are an incredible singer, and you bring the house down every time you sing.
I like how you lie to me. But
it's the truth. Yeah, everybody knows.
But you, just the fact that, you know, you can go from like, oh, yeah, I just came back playing with Jackson Brown, 10,000 people, whatever, and then you come to just hang out with us and sit in. Who does that? Like I said, there are a lot of musicians who will never do that.
I think we're all in the same party here. I really believe it. We all do the same thing. We're entertaining. We're bringing music and love to people. And it doesn't matter the level; it's all the same. I think even in a small level like a club, it's even more important because it's you're connecting these people in that moment in time. You know what I mean?
I totally agree
with
you.
And it's almost it's
more
instant.
Personal.
It's instant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Being in a room full of like 4,000 people, it's like you're connecting. Your soul is connecting because you know your song. You relate to the song, the artist that wrote the song, the moment in life that you heard this song and how special it is to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that songwriting is the key, and I think that's one of the most important things about humanity, connecting with songs. If you can have a connection with somebody through a song, it's like you've touched their soul. And I think musically, you've touched somebody's soul musically. That's incredible. Mm. You know, it's not everybody can do that. I mean, piece of art. You look at a piece of art.
True.
No one's going to be there. The artist is never going to be there to see the connection. You know, music, it's instant. You play it, there it is.
That is so true. Yeah. Like, you literally get to see the effect you have, like, right away.
Yeah.
That's magical.
Yeah. I mean, we take it for granted because we're all, you just, you know, playing or whatever. But, you know, the connection. And they'll feed off it and return it by being there and connecting with you. And that's...
You're so right.
That's why we do this.
It's like something really good to remember.
Yeah.
Be gracious and be grateful at the same time, because that's magic that's happening right there.
Absolutely. We're lucky to be able to do this.
And any musicians out there, I hope you're listening to that, because let's not forget what it's about. I have so many more questions. I really do. This is just the beginning. But we're going to take a short break. You are listening to Charisse Unplugged, and you are listening to my sweet guest, Mauricio. Mauricio, a.k.a. Fritz. We'll be right back, you guys.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Charisse Unplugged and my very special guest and dear friend, Mauricio, a.k.a. Fritz. I got to call you Fritz at this point. So I have a bunch more questions. So I'm just going to start off with this one. Drumming is very intense, right? And it's very physical. And how do you stay inspired And how do you keep passion on the stage each time you play?
You know, that's a good question, because, I mean, if you're playing every night or every two nights and you're playing the same music, basically, mm-hmm. as a drummer, you're supposed to kind of keep something sort of the same. As a drummer, as a timekeeper, you kind of, if you're a soloist, you know, the idea is to play something different because you're really inspiring the song.
Right.
But I think the key, to me, what I find is just focusing on the song and the song writer or the singer of the song and try to create the same moment, with the same, you know, basically the same sensitivity. But you can always change a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just, you can always change, like you can play a little fill different or just, you know, because most songwriters will know if you've changed the time, mm-hmm. speed up or slow down.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And just, or volume, intensity. If you can play, and that's the key, and that's something that I'm still learning how to play sensitively, where it's really quiet at a certain place and really loud.
Oh, so you don't want to, like, you know, break your sticks after each gig?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of...
I mean, song, wood chips everywhere.
Yeah, I would play with different kinds of sticks to create a better and a different emotion about the song. So that to me is challenging. I find that to be inspiring to be able to change that.
That's actually probably harder than trying to do something totally different.
Completely hard. It's probably one of the hardest things ever.
It's like nuancing without changing
anything. It's like jazz drumming. I'm not a jazz drummer, but when I see jazz drummers, they realize they're speaking while they're playing. They're actually creating a moment of conversation,
mm-hmm.
especially when you come into these solos, and you know, it's like a completely different kind of drumming, but different physical, because you have a different sort of thing.
Right.
To me, it's really about understanding the sensitivity of the music.
Do you try to honor the songwriter or the performer's songs?
I kind of
and
do.
How they vision it?
You try. I think probably one of the reasons I'm still playing with Jackson, because a lot of it, mm-hmm. I can kind of know what.
You know what he wants.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If you don't know what somebody wants, then it's a good chance they're not going to be around.
Uh-huh.
So it's funny. You know what I mean? It's like, how do you know that? Well, you don't. You just get a sense of how he wants it or, you know, what the artist wants it. And it's sort of like truth. But, you mm-hmm. know, a song still, arrangement's going to be the same. It may change over time. Maybe things will get longer or, you know, parts get longer or, you know, choruses get longer. You know, whatever. But a soloist will change that. But still, fundamentally, the arrangement kind of is what the singer's saying.
He probably really appreciates that you are listening.
I think listening is the most
for what he wants.
You know, listening is super duper important for any musician.
Mm.
It's really easy to speak and, you know, but listening to that is complete, and understanding by listening, like kind of getting, it's completely hard to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not, sometimes it's not, from listening, it's sometimes not playing is bigger than playing something.
Totally, the space.
Right, the space is huge, because it just adds to, you know, if you play, you know what that...
When I sing with musicians who are actually listening to me sing, and I can feel it because it gives me wings, it's such a different experience.
Absolutely.
Completely. Because there's musicians who just play, and there's musicians who listen.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed in your playing is, like, you are always right there on it, a change, a shift, whatever, because you are literally paying attention all the time.
I mean, to me, that's how I grew up. I grew up playing with songs and listening to songwriters, and that was always kind of my thing. You know, I was listening for every band.
Yeah.
From the Police to Tower of Power and R&B, I listened every day. And I grew up listening to bands to learn what the drums were playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started playing by ear, then I took lessons later, but it was about listening to these wonderful drummers that play the music that I love listening to.
Do you have a favorite? Or, like, who are you, like, I know this is a crazy question, but do you have a top three?
Drummers?
Yeah.
Probably, you know, everybody loves John Bonham, one of the greatest.
Uh-huh.
David Garibaldi, going to play with Tower of Power. And Neil Peart, Rush's drummer. I mean, there's Buddy Rich, and there's jazz drummers, and there's Nate Smith, and there's guys that are playing that are hip today. There's an incredible amount of, because the internet and because of YouTube, we have an incredible amount of opportunities to listen to people, learn from, you know.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid, we had nothing like that. We had records and radio.
Was there a artist or a record or a song that made you go, oh, I want to do this?
It probably might have been early R&B, like probably the early James Brown records. Those guys were playing with so much feel and so much power.
James Brown, huh?
I mean, listen to every drummer that ever played with James Brown. Even Sly Stone. I mean, that era of music that had R&B and rock and roll and Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Mitch Mitchell's playing. I mean, there's an amazing amount of... Mitch was a jazz drummer, but playing in a trio of rock and roll, hippie, psychedelic cats, like, you know. And Jimi Hendrix was still one of the most amazing guys ever.
So you have like a R&B, R&B influence.
Yeah, I kind of just, that's probably more of my, you know, my upbringing.
That's why we get along so well.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Yep. I love my R&B as well, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I think that's one of those other things that people would never know about you because, you know, like we hear you play rock, stuff like that. But you wouldn't guess that you have this R&B influence too.
Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate that.
You're so well-rounded. Like, you like a lot of stuff.
It's all great. I mean, to me, rhythm and drums from Africa to South America, it's all connected. And it connects your heart, the soul. And so to me, it's all, if it's good, if it's well-made, if it sounds, you know, like there's incredible amount of, you know, soul in it, I love it. I mean, I love it.
And it doesn't matter what genre, like, soul is soul.
Right? Exactly.
I feel the same way, like sometimes with some country songs,
absolutely,
with some jazz tunes. Like there's something soulful about it. I'm connected to that feeling.
Absolutely, great. Same thing.
And it's like, yeah, I get that. Okay. I have a fun question. When you are on the road, what do you like to eat?
Whatever's in front of me.
Really? You don't have like a go-to?
You know what? It's being on the road that's the toughest thing because you basically are eating somewhere every day. And you know, I mean, the way our schedule is, the way it's been for me, it's been you wake up in a hotel and you go out, find a cup of coffee or find something to eat.
Yeah.
Whatever. Could be eggs or, you know,
whatever. Do you eat healthy, you think?
I try, you know. And then at night, it's usually, you know, there's no real lunch, but we get to the gig, and there's usually sandwiches or there's some kind of snack, and then there's a dinner. And then you never know what it's going to be. It's either going to be fish or chicken, and you hope you pick the right thing, and you kind of don't know. And, I mean, it isn't like...
You hope you pick the right thing.
You know what I mean? I mean, I've been on the road. I was on the road on a tour where there was bad fish served in the catering. And one guy in the band got, they had to call the paramedics for him. He had to get shots. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah.
So look out for the fish.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually. All right, we're going to be right back. I have more questions for Fritz, that's for sure. You listen to Charisse Unplugged. We'll be right back, everybody.
Okay, so you see a product you like on your favorite TV show, and you're going to write the number down. But if you're like me, you run around trying to find that pen and piece of paper, which magically disappears every time you need them. Then when you get back to the TV, they're already on to something else. Well, now there's a solution. Scene on TV products have combined all the best TV offers online and in one place. It's one-stop shopping. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Scene on TV products. Then, who cares if that pesky pen or paper does a disappearing act?
I've heard of Bose for years, but I thought you had to be some electronic geek to appreciate the superior technology and sound that Bose is famous for. Well, I'm not too proud to admit that I was wrong. I found out that Bose is an advertiser on HealthyLife.net, so I just clicked through to check it out, and now I'm proud to say that my home is equipped with superior technology and amazing sharp and bold sound through my solid and compact Bose Wave radio and CD player. Thanks to HealthyLife.net and Bose, what a difference a click made.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the Internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Cherise Unplugged, and you're listening to my sweet, dear friend, Fritz. Amazing drummer, legendary drummer, traveled with everybody and traveled all around the world. Like, you really have traveled around the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been, there's plenty of places I haven't been, but yeah, almost around the world.
Do you have a favorite?
They're all kind of cool, you know? There's greatness in every place you go, especially because it's different, you know?
Do you have do you ever go, oh, I would love to go back and play there again?
Yeah, you know what? There's definitely places, even in the U.S., there's great places to play. I mean, there's great places, and one of the best places, I think, one of the venues in the U.S. is probably Red Rocks, you know, which is magical.
I've never been.
You should go. You should fly out, see a show there.
Okay.
It's worth it.
Okay.
It's magical, and it's just, it's amazing.
I'll go when you're playing there again.
Okay.
That will be fun. I want to see you at Red Rocks.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place.
So, like, when you're off the road, what are some favorite things you like to do? What are your hobbies when you have some downtime for yourself?
Well, I'm lucky. My wife of 41 years is incredibly supportive, has been supportive of my
Your crazy. Beautiful wife, Barbara.
Barbara's amazing. She's actually put up with my playing the drums since we met, you know. And we have incredible, friends in this wonderful part of, you know, California. We're on the beach and we're avid boaters, and we love the ocean, and we just got back from Catalina, and that's kind of what we do on our time off. You know, I come off the road, and the last thing I want to do is get on an airplane.
Yeah.
You know, and she's retired now, and she works for United Airlines. The last thing she wants to do is get on an airplane. So we get on a boat and go to Catalina or go hang out or, you know, just that sort of thing.
Kind of like having fun for you now, staying put.
Exactly.
Almost.
I know.
Right?
And, yeah. So it's kind of like that's the thing. And I've also been really enjoying getting involved with a bunch of local musicians here in the South Bay. I mean, we have incredible support of musicians. Yes. and it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's because most of the summers I've been out of town. This last year it's been great. Jackson took a little time off, and mm-hmm. we've had a couple of gigs here and there, and we have a few later next month and a month after that. I've been using the time to be kind of involved with playing with some friends around town and working my studio track, you know, helping friends of mine do some demos. So it's been a really great summer doing that.
Are you writing any originals?
I do write. I've been writing most, you know, always writing with other people. And so I love writing music and creating and, you know, just getting involved with, you know.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you were writing.
Yeah, I do. And it's always a combination of working with other people or submitting parts and, co-writing and doing stuff like that. So,
do you prefer to co-write, or do you like coming up with your own ideas, or equal?
It's kind of equal, because you never know. You know, you may have a lick, or you have an idea, or a chord structure, or a groove, or a drum part, or a loop, or something. Mm-hmm. Having given that to somebody and having them kind of continue to work with that is cool. It really adds that's the thing about, you know, it's like, because when I grew up in being in bands, and that's how we used to write, is being in a room full of people. Where now you kind of are either one or two people, or you send somebody an idea and then they send it back to you. So it's a little bit.
Do you miss that camaraderie?
Absolutely. Even now, I mean, I've got to be in my room. I have a little room in my studio in my house where I, I, I can do drums for people, and I've been doing that even during COVID. People would send me a track, and mm-hmm. I'd put drums on it, and it's still not the same. I mean, it's convenient because you can do it in your pajamas, but the reality mm-hmm. is you still have to connect with that person on the phone and talk about how they like it or what you want to change. It's not really the same. You're still coming up with stuff, sending it to them, and hoping they're going to like it. And that could take, sometimes it could take days before they get back to you, or you know what I mean?
What a great experience. I've never had that. I was always a wedding singer, so I was always doing somebody else's songs.
Right.
Never did originals. So it's like a whole other world, like sitting around coming up with something.
Yeah, and the great thing about doing it with someone else is that you don't have to be the it's not all the weight is on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You come up with something and they can take that idea and just sort of like, you know what, maybe that's, oh yeah, let's do that.
Must be fun.
It's great. It's the most amazingly creative way to be, play
I'm
music.
Coming over. That's
come on
great.
Over. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That'll be
anything
fun.
Could be, a line of a melody can create an idea. And that's all it takes. You know, and it doesn't have to be the simplest the better sometimes, and that's how you come up with music.
I always thought it was like this weird scientific thing, like people know how to do this except for me. Like, what do they know that I don't? You know?
Well, the true thing is that those people you're talking about do this every day. They get up in the morning, the people in Nashville, the guys that are writing songs for artists, get up every day while they're having coffee, they come up with something.
Wow.
And that exercise becomes, excuse me, your way of creating to make the idea happen. It's just, and then you, even if it's not,
it's like working out, like a music muscle.
It's the same thing. It's a muscle. And you may have a million, maybe it's 100 ideas in 1 month. Maybe one of them you'll like.
Right.
And you'll go back to it, or you'll play it for somebody that's writing with you. They'll go, you know what? That's catchy.
Mm.
I like the way that sounds. And that's how things start. But it's, these guys are, every day you do your 30 reps or whatever, and your push-ups, and you build that muscle. And that songwriting muscle for those people becomes, you know. Then there's people that wake up in the middle of the night and have an idea.
And it's brilliant.
And it's brilliant from the get-go. And that's
my iota.
You are.
So you've been on the road a long time. Like, how many years now?
Well, I mean, with Jackson, it's been since 93. So that's, and every year we get the, we'll make, the way he does it, it's been, with Melissa, it was like you make a record, it takes 6 months or a year for a record to come out, then you go on the road and you end up covering a lot of ground and you do it for, so it's every year, it's pretty much, there's been a couple of breaks in between. It's not that you're gone for all month, like all 6 months, 3 weeks on and 2 weeks off.
That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, it's the break, and I think the older we all get, the easier it is to tour that way. It's
Knowing that you get to come home for a little while.
Yeah, and this year has been great. I've been able to, we've had it out. We've done a few shows here and there, and then I'm going to the UK next month. I'm playing with my old friend who I've known for a long time, named Vonda Shepherd. Vonda had a show called Ally McBeal. Might have been the 90s. And so she's a singer, songwriter, piano player, great piano player, great singer. And so I play with her once in a while. She'll do a tour. And so she's been doing these 3 weeks in the UK for a couple of years. So we're doing that, and then I got like three or four more shows at the end of the year with Jackson, and then next year is a whole nother, who knows?
A whole new year
whole
after
new
that.
Year. So, yeah.
So you've developed, I'm sure, some really close, tight-knit friendships with people along the way. What are some of your favorite memories?
Of playing? Or?
Yeah, do you have anything that just, like, I remember this one time that always just...
I do. I have probably one of the most amazing memories to me is that we were with Jackson and we played at the, I think it was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony. And that same night, Tom Petty was there, and I think that was the night that Tom Petty and Prince showed up and he played that solo where at the end of the solo, he throws it up in the air.
Oh, that one?
Yeah. Because that night he was on the bill. He was on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Did you get to see that in person?
I saw that, and it was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Because our good friend, keyboard player at the time, Jeff Young, was in the band. He ended up playing organ.
Oh, my God.
With Danny Harrison, I think, is on that stage with Tom and Steve Ferroni, of course. Fantastic. And Prince comes in, and he does that solo at the end. He throws the guitar up in the air.
What?
And everybody just kind of... flipped out.
Epic. And you got to be there.
We were there. It was because that was the night that we played.
Dang, that's a great memory.
It was insane.
Holy moly. My memories are like, I remember when I was a kid. Yeah, well, that's really epic.
It was pretty bad. I mean, it was just like.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Charisse Unplugged, and you're listening to my friend Fritz talking about his legendary life as a drummer for Jackson Browne and others. So we'll be right back. I've got a couple more questions.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
A cut above the rest, that's what your hair and experience will be at Kasai Hair in Manhattan Beach. Imagine your haircut in a longer lasting movie star style at a lower price than high-end salons. Healthy, beautiful hair, free from scalp problems, hair loss, or damage. You won't find a better cut or experience than at Kasai Hair. So visit KasaiHair.com, or better yet, call for your appointment at 310-546-0023. 310-546-0023. Kasai Hair, 310-546-0023.
To get your message out, social media is great, but if you want to be picked up by major media outlets, let's face it, just using social media makes your chances, well, slim to none. If you want to improve your chances, put your message in the right place. A press release on PR Web. Affordable, easy to use, and with great customer service, there's no reason not to use PR Web. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on PR Web now and get started.
Whoa. The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Charisse, and you are listening to Charisse Unplugged. And my friend Fritz, I got more questions for you. This is like nonstop.
I'm a Virgo and I like walks on the beach.
Actually, you don't.
I don't.
You just want to sail on the beach. You want to sail on the water.
Yes. Absolutely.
What would you say to an up-and-coming drummer today? What advice would you have?
Wow, up-and-coming drummer. Well, I got to say, really, I mean...
Like trying to make it in today's music scene. What advice would you have?
You know, I think most of... We have a... I mean, the social media platform for young musicians is incredible. I mean, right now you can... If you post every day, somebody's going to get... The more attention you get, obviously that's the more people know about you. We didn't have that when I was growing up. It was all word of mouth and people hearing about you through other people, or there was guys auditioning for gigs, you know. And I know a lot of drummers became famous because they were great at auditioning and people loved them, and the word was always like, hey, get that guy, he can do everything. But to be able to do everything is huge. If you can play everything, play any kind of style, because you never know when you're going to need to play.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, we live in a different society. We have society meaning musical scene, you know, we have just technology that's creating music.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to lose sight of the fact is that we still need to be able to musicians. We still need to be able to play music and write music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't let the electronic write the music for us. We still need to be composers. And the problem with that is the challenge is really you need to learn how to write music, whichever way it is, either by ear or by taking classes, learning how to play chord progression, emotions of chords and lyrics. I mean, that's the thing. Know everything.
The human element will never go away.
And if you can learn another instrument as well as drums, that'll just improve your musicality. You'll learn how to...
Oh, that's a good
super duper important. I mean, I think a lot of the great music, great drummers, also played another instrument because that's...
Wow.
Kind of, and the ones that didn't, learn something about those other instruments besides, you know, maybe... You know, just some fundamental of playing.
Yeah, like no theory, learn how to read.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Reading is great, but you know, melodic structure of understanding music, song. You know, I think that's kind of key. But we have the tools today. You have YouTube. You have, you know.
So you would say, you know, put yourself out there on YouTube and all that.
Exactly.
Put yourself out there.
I think that's really it's easier today than ever.
That's
you
cool.
don't have to really. You can be living in the middle of, you know. Midwest and not have in a small town and still be able to reach people.
That's so true.
You know,
you're right.
It wasn't like that when I was a kid. I mean, we didn't have that technology.
Just had flyers.
We had flyers.
Made our own with our hands, right? With the lettering.
Sharpie, yeah.
Yeah, those things.
It's true.
Okay, so if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Wow, that's a really good question.
Right?
Wow. One album.
It's like a go-to.
Yeah.
Like, what's your go-to?
Oh, God. God, there's so many records. I mean, so many. There just are so many.
Yeah.
That's a hard question to answer.
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do when you're like, I need a pick-me-up? What are you going to listen to?
That's a really hard one. Because I can't figure out if there's one that's got everything that's, you know what I mean?
That fits all your needs.
I mean, really. Mm-hmm. Just in
well, you're just going to have to come back and answer that question.
I'm going to have to think on that one.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to let that stew, okay? We'll stew on that one for a little bit.
Yeah.
What artist would you want to play with that you haven't played with yet?
Pink.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I had a friend who was playing trumpet for a while named Mark Schumann. I don't think he's doing the gig anymore. But it's it's a young man's game right there. Super high up.
That would be a dream gig right there. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, it'd be crazy. I mean, but...
She's an idol. My idol.
Insane, right?
I love her. Just seeing her, like I told you, I just saw her this past weekend. Oh, my God. It was just... Above and beyond her voice, the band, I mean, like all of it.
Yeah. Whole show. And
I would carry her shoes to be on that gig. I would do anything to just like be on tour with her. Oh my God. I hear that.
Yeah.
Pink.
Pretty amazing.
What is something that people would be super surprised to learn about you? Hmm. Any hidden talents or unexpected hobbies? I feel like this is like a sneaky question.
Well, I guess I've been sort of trying to learn to play guitar for the past few years, so that's been very terrible. But I have a guitar collection because I love guitars. So that's from working with Greg, you know, being a band with a guitar player.
Yeah.
Because usually on a day off, somebody goes, "Hey, let's go look at musical instruments, or let's go to the pawn shop and check out a bunch of instruments."
And then you buy one.
And then I end up buying another guitar. Not that I really need another guitar, but...
Oh, Barbara must love that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I need drums. That's another thing.
How many drums do you have?
Too many. I just...
What would you guess?
Well,
about... how many kits?
I had a storage place in Glendale. I had a great little storage place that I was renting, and I realized that I really don't need a lot of these drums. They're just sitting there collecting dust. Because every 2 or 3 years, you buy another drum set, and usually you got, like, an endorsement with somebody, and... You get like, all right, let's try this drum set for this tour. And then you would do that, and at the end of the tour, you go, okay. It goes back into storage, and then you've already got... So I've got like 6 drums at home, and that's like 3 drum sets. And I'm thinking... Okay. And then my collection of snare drums, snare drums are one of those things that I was collecting for a while.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there's a lot, and they're kind of shoes. You know, they're like shoes. They all sound different, and they...
When you compare them to shoes, I understand that.
See?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... But I'm a terrible guitar player, so I guess that would be my hidden...
So have you been taking lessons?
Yeah, online, you know, kind of on my own and trying to, you know, just for fun because it's something to do. The thing is that if I'm on the road and I want to you know, sitting in a hotel room waiting to check out. It's
yeah.
easier to have a little guitar to play along to something instead of tapping on the pillows because
right.
it's 12:30 at night or whatever. You don't want to wake anybody
and
up.
And you don't want to annoy everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because...
It's electric guitar, no one can hear but you, unless you plug it in. But yeah, it's something to do. And
that's
I always
cool,
wish I could
Fred.
Keep doing it in practice, but it's, no, too late.
Do you sing?
I sing a little bit, just kind of background, you know, trying to... Mm-hmm. Always admire the drummers, the favorite drummers that sing, like Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
Right? Jeez. Incredible drummer, singer.
That's like a whole other... I tried, you know...
Don Henley, I mean, there's been...
You know, I love drums.
Yeah.
There's no way I can sing and play.
It's a whole thing. It's very completely bizarre, but those guys have been doing it for their life. It seems like they got it down. You know?
Yeah. So talking about like an extra music muzzle.
Steve can sing and play.
Yes, he can,
yeah.
actually.
Very good.
He actually has better pitch than I do. It's crazy. Like, his ear is so good.
That's awesome.
You wouldn't know it. Oh, I am so... Can I just say, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This was, like, so special to me.
It was a blast. Thank you.
And, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mauricio Luwak, a.k.a. Fritz, because that's what we call him. He has a new nickname with us. I'm just not going to share that one. But I just want to thank everybody for joining in and listening to the show. Is there any place that you're going to be playing that we should know about in L.A. or anywhere that you want to share?
I think in L.A. we're doing anything coming up. I mean, I'm out of town in October for a few weeks, and then I think the next three gigs we have, I think there's two gigs in Chicago that we're doing with Jackson. One of them is a benefit for somebody, and then there's a gig we're doing it in December, which is, I guess, it's Mavis Staples'
Ooh.
Birthday party.
Fine.
We're doing a gig, and I think it's Margot Price and Jackson and Mavis.
Oh, wow.
That's like in the first week of December.
So we should just look out. We should just check you yeah. out on Google and Google you and see where you're playing next.
Yeah, and we're just, meanwhile, I'm just out hanging out with you and your wonderful band and Bryn George and my friends, my local musicians that are in the South Bay.
There's some good musicians out
yeah,
here.
This is a great scene.
We are lucky, though, to yeah. have somebody like you in the midst of us.
I'm lucky to be here.
You really, truly are one of the kindest, most generous musicians we all know.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mauricio Luwak, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We'll be back again, and hopefully we'll get Mauricio back, Fritz back. Again, for some more questions. Take care, everybody. Thank you.